Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Pat Allen Empowered Communication Call-In Show on LA Talk Radio. My name is Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of Dr. Pat Allen Want Institute. We are a nonprofit organization that has been supporting the groundbreaking relationship work of world-renowned psychotherapist Dr. Pat Allen for more than 50 years. The Want Institute offers help and guidance with relationships and communication tools. We currently offer ongoing monthly ladies groups facilitated by Dr. Pat Allen, myself, and Kelly Ward. We also offer one-on-one relationship communication coaching. If you want more information on our monthly ladies groups or one-on-one coaching, please call the office at 949-723-0338, or you can email me at info@drpatallen.com, and please check out our website, www.drpatallen.com. The ladies' groups start the first week of each month. Also, please stay tuned to our 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time show, in which Patricia Eltinge, Dr. Pat Allen's colleague, will interpret your dreams. Before we get started, please grab a pen and paper so you can write down the call-in number. Our call-in number is 323-203-0815. If you call the switchboard, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back. Please make sure you pick up the call back as well as enter the number in your contact list to eliminate call going to spam. So let me introduce Kelly Ward is with us tonight. Kelly, are you here?
I'm here.
And we also have Dr. Pat Allen. Dr. Pat Allen, are you here?
I certainly am.
And then we also have one of Dr. Allen's former students, Andy Shaw. He's helped the One Institute numerous times he puts all the podcasts up. He handles the website and he makes our charts and manuals. Andy, are you available?
I sure am.
Okay. Andy, do you want to ask Dr. Pat any questions?
I do. I have two in particular I want to go over, if you don't mind. Okay, the first question.
I want you to understand that I may ask you to repeat what you're saying because I have difficulty sometimes hearing it.
I will do my best, and I hope Sue will help me if I need it.
Okay.
All right.
So what is the question?
Well, as you know, the question is, how do you know when it is time to leave a relationship?
I did not hear it correctly.
When's it time to leave the relationship, Dr. Pat? How do you know when it's time?
I cannot hear it that time either. I want it repeated, please.
Okay, how do you know when it's time to leave a relationship?
I don't know if I'm the right person to do this because I'm having difficulty hearing it unless... Kelly, can you repeat what they're saying?
Yes, Dr. Pat. Andy would like to know when you know it's time to leave a relationship.
I did not understand the question. Please help me.
How do you know it's time to end a relationship when it's time to leave?
To leave a relationship?
Yes, to leave.
Not to have any more chemistry. You don't want to smell them, taste them, touch them. Chemistry, God love chemistry, is what keeps us together when we don't like each other.
Yeah, okay. Andy, can you tell us a little bit about what you've done for the WAN Institute?
Sure. June 2013, I started learning. I had a friend tell me about you, and the first time I ever heard you say anything is you had gave her introduction, and you said that you didn't want to make money off of people's pain without paying it back somehow. And that struck me as phenomenally nice. And I knew that I wanted to learn something more from you. So I spent 6 months going every Wednesday night to Orange County, sometimes on Monday nights to LA, and taking all the notes I could. And at the end of each, going over and shaking your hand and telling you thank you. And the way I started working for you is one day I think I gave you a hug. And nobody gave you hugs. It was kind of odd. And that started all with January 2014.
And then from then on, you've been helping me with the seminars as well. And then doing a lot of the setting up the seminars and also doing a lot of the manuals and the tech work.
Yeah, we did set up with that. I redid the WANT manual, the communication manual, helped with the Mandarin Woman's Universe. Got that going. And made some edits. That was a 20 years in the making of getting that book published. And then we're reading it and saying, I've been a therapist for 20 years. I'm like, you've been a therapist for like 45 years now. That was amazing to work on and to create a soft copy that we could then edit and bring up to date with any new ideas that have happened since then.
Dr. Pat, are you still on the air?
Emma, I'm still here.
Okay. Well,
I want to, do you understand that your voice carries, I hear your voice.
Okay. Andy wanted to know, how do you know when you're done with a relationship? How do you know when you're done with a relationship?
When you don't have any chemistry. You can't stand the taste, touch, smell, see, or hear them.
Okay.
You see, we've got three ways to negotiate. Number one is to intimidate people. Two and three is seduce them with guilt and shame. But the fourth one is what I do, which is when my voice is working well, and I hope you people arrange yourselves so that you can deal with my disability, because I have things to say. But I'm 88, about to be 89 years old, and my body is starting to die. And I would love to share what I've learned, but I need a voice that fits my brain now. And the book I want you to read is The Brain That Changes Itself by Norman Doidge. And the man who was an interpreter at the Simpson trial, Hayakawa, writes a wonderful book about thinking and communicating. You people are talking to an old person who has lived tremendously well and wants to share it. But I need people whose voices trigger my receptor. So right now, what can I answer and who's going to answer it?
I'll hear it from Andy and then I'll interpret it. Andy, what's your second question?
My second question is, how do I overcome the personality differences I have with my significant other?
Wait, what was that again?
How do I overcome the personality differences with my significant other?
Okay, Pat, how do I overcome my personality differences with my spouse?
What you do is now read another book. And the book is called Toward a Psychology of Being by Abraham Maslow. And it talks about the assets and liabilities of becoming what God and nature created, which is you. I am very, very, very comfortable and happy with who I became. And Andy, what one symbol did we share that we agreed to that follows what I'm saying? We have one contract. What is it?
To have lunch.
It's what?
To have lunch together.
We have lunch, but we have a contract that goes back to the beginning, hugging me.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, indeed. Yes, absolutely.
And I want you to understand that that was the bottom of the answer that I'm giving you, is that my body wanted you to hug me, which was something I didn't get from my father, nor did I really understand what it was sexually. I knew somehow the hug you gave me touched my heart for years. Do you recognize it?
I do, yes.
Okay. What did you think about that hug every time we were together?
I just knew I loved you.
You did what?
He knew that he loved you.
That's exactly right. And how do you feel right now with me telling the truth for myself and bringing you into it, sharing with me? What do you feel about that?
I feel really good.
He feels really good.
Okay, but isn't it a little weird?
At first, I thought it was unusual to bring it up, but I'm glad you are.
Okay. That's why you might want to read The Brain That Changes Itself, because we have pleasure centers and we have pain centers in our brains, and certain people automatically touch pleasant centers, and there are others that automatically touch pain centers, and we have to work to get to know how to not relate to gamey people who play verbal games, and find the people whose body says, I'm here for you. I love you. You see, people come into the office when I work there, and they'd say, we love each other. I said, you've got to love everybody, and that includes bad people. Do you like each other? And the truth of the matter is, liking is approving. Do you know that every time I touch the communication manual for me to teach people how to take advantage of what I teach, I think of you, because you created that manual and I've been using it for years.
All I did was update it.
What do you think about what I'm saying to you now?
I think you're being too kind, because all I did was update it. Your information.
Okay.
In a cleaner format, that's it.
I'm doing what I do for a living. I help people be lovable to people that they love.
Well, I love you, Pat. Hey, can I do a plug? For the website.
What would you like to say, Andy?
To give people the wantinstitute.net website.
Okay.
And there's a link on there for books. So if you didn't catch all the books that Pat has mentioned, there's about 130 listed on there.
It's so www.wantinstitute.org or net?
.net.
It's the .net. It's got the book list. Yes, it does. It has all of Pat's
books.
Yeah,
and it's got some EMDR links and some other info that may help too.
Thank you. It's nice of you. So with that, Pat, are you going to join us back next week? Dr. Pat?
What?
Are you? Yes. We'd like to have you come back next week. We have another guest for you next week.
I want to ask the question of you, Sue.
Okay.
My
what
darling
is that?
Second daughter.
Okay, what?
I want to thank you for helping me carry the message that I have been working on for 52 years to help people gather what I have gathered to share with them before I die.
That's why we
Thank
have the radio show.
Too.
That's why we have the radio show. We have Kelly as your student and Andy's your student and I'm the student. And we have Patricia Eltinge that'll be on later, a student. So we'll help as many people as we can spread the message.
But I am going to tell the truth as an older person who's near dying.
Okay.
Not the same one. I will talk about whatever triggers me. Andy triggered me.
Okay.
You're triggering me.
Okay.
What I'm saying is I'm telling the truth of my life.
Okay.
And I loved it, even though sometimes it was horrible.
Well,
but I'm a transactional analyst.
Okay. Well,
to finish this by saying.
Okay.
Beware of your thoughts, they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character, masculine or feminine. We're all both, but we choose which one to live. Beware of your character, it impacts your destiny, your profession, your career, your family, your love. And I'm so thrilled, Sue, that you are coming to such a nice place based on what I brought to you.
Yes, thank you. So
welcome.
Okay, with that, we're going to have you back on next week. We have another special guest for you, but we just want to say thank you and goodbye. Andy, you want to say goodbye?
Bye, Pat. I love you. We'll talk soon and have lunch soon.
Goodbye, Dr. Pat. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Dr. Pat. Love you.
Okay, well, with that, Andy, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, we take calls now if anybody out there is calling you. We have three students of Dr. Allen's. I'm Sue Wagner. We have Andy Shaw, and we have Kelly Ward. Me and Kelly, we do ladies' groups, and I think Andy might be interested in starting up some men. Do you coach men, Andy?
Not yet, but I want to.
Okay, well, we'll start working, plugging some plugs for you there. I'm not sure. I do have some call-in questions. One of them is, she says, my friend has gone out with a guy on 5 dates, and he has, we have a call. Caller, you're on the air. Can we take a question from you?
Yes, this is the person who calls weekly about the widower.
Okay, you've got Kelly Ward, Sue Wagner, and we also have another coach on, Andy Ward, Andy Shaw. So between Shaw. Three of us, we may give you three great answers. What can I help you with?
Okay, so I'm falling in love with him, and I want to know, should I mention it or no?
Kelly, do you want to take that call?
Should you mention it? That is a really good question. Typically, I tell my ladies to wait for the man to make the first move. He's the masculine energy, and he's going to make the decision. You get the veto, right? But he gets the decision on how he wants to proceed. And that's what I usually tell my ladies. What do you tell them, Sue?
I would, yes, he is the masculine, so he's the leader. You can say you enjoy being around him and you enjoy his company. Be feminine and appreciate what he gives to you and how he makes you feel without saying the I love you.
Okay.
Does, if that helps.
Yeah.
What do you think, Andy?
What do you think, Andy?
Well, I got to say, if you take their advice, she's going to fall in love with you quickly. It is an incredibly intoxicating to hear those things.
Okay, say that again.
Basically, if you tell a man how much you appreciate him and everything he does, you appreciate spending time with him, you appreciate, you know, how generous he is and appreciate, you know, his kindness, and you appreciate, you enjoy being with him. Those are all strokes. If you stroke and appreciate a man, he will hopefully want to give back too. And hopefully when he's ready, he may drop the I love you. But you don't do it first, because that would be the chasing. You're pushing, you're penetrating.
Yes, I thought so. So all of you just confirmed what I thought. So I haven't said anything to him or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Unfortunately, being feminine is patient, and I'm hearing you're wanting to want more from him. Wanting is masculine.
I do.
But wanting is masculine.
Okay, so I'm not saying anything. Everything is on his terms. I'll see him when he's ready and all of that. So it seems to be working.
And if he takes you out on three dates or three outings, you can offer one date back, less than what he's offered you.
I forgot to tell you that. Because I called last week about the concert.
Yes, but that date would have to be you paying. You wanted to take him, but you wanted him to pay.
I just asked if he liked live music, and he said he did, and he said the tickets were expensive, and he was invited by his sister. So I dropped that, and then I invited him to brunch on last Saturday, and I cooked. And he really appreciated that.
That's what I mean. So that's the good one. He gives you three nice little dates. You give back one less than what he's given you.
Right.
So I know last week you called about going to the concert, which was quite expensive, and that would be given more than he spent on you.
Right. And I didn't even ask. I mean, I asked if he liked them, but I dropped it.
Okay, good. So you're doing everything good.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, caller.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good luck.
She's been on the last couple of weeks. We've been kind of walking her through. And anyway, we have a question. I don't know if we have another caller, but I have a lot of people are writing in. My friend has gone out with a guy on five dates, and he has invited her to come over to his home to make food for her. He has spent about $200 on each date before. When she visits his home, he will make her dinner. Is it okay or appropriate when she visits his home to bring something with her, like cookies or hot sauce for him? Or should she just show up to the dinner and say thank you for showing his appreciation? That's Dr. Allen. For every three dates a man takes you out on, you give back one less. That was Dr. Allen's philosophy. What do you say, Andy?
I'm with you. Don't try to match them up. Keep it simple. Just show appreciation.
Yeah. What about you, Kelly?
100%.
Okay.
100%. Do not show him up.
Yeah, and also, the one thing, if he's gone out on 5 dates with you, you want to give back to show appreciation that you're building. You're a builder rather than a taker. A lot of men don't like it when all women do is take, 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 and they don't show like any kind of initiation to give back something of a small gesture. And this lady, she's just asking to bring him cookies or hot sauce. I think she might owe him a cooked meal from her house.
The only thing I would say is no wine or alcohol.
Okay. Yeah, well, if you drink, ladies, when you drink and get intoxicated, you can do weird things. Yeah.
Yeah, it alters the energy from feminine to masculine, for sure.
Oh, yeah, ladies get more masculine when they drink, and men go more feminine. So it turns the table around. Oh, we have another call. Caller, you're on the air. Can we take, do you have a question? Oh, I think they got kicked off. They'll be back. Kelly, do you want to take this next one? I'll let you be the guest.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? If we get into the call, it would be great. And then we can all answer. We're doing great that way.
There was a caller came on, but she dropped off a sudden. So I'm sure she'll be calling back. I'm just...
Hello?
Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Yeah. I do have a question. The question is, now I am engaged and I'm happy about that, but I am very suspicious, not trusting. I have issues with that. And then I had a situation where he, always answers the phone. I'm sure a lot of women and men can relate to this. He always answers the phone and he didn't, and he got back to me well, at least it was within the hour, but my mind was racing, in all kinds of ways. How can you stop that?
Oh, that's a big one. Well, Dr. Pat will tell you, you don't trust anybody until they've proven their trustworthiness, first of all. Second of all, what's making you suspicious? Did somebody in your life cheat on you? Was your father a cheater on your mother?
Yes.
Okay,
exactly.
That's your script. So you're expecting that. It's negative forecasting, and it's a bad thing. So unless he's done something that you would, if you call him in and he calls you back within the hour, I would call that pretty positive. Like, for example, I probably field 30 phone calls a day. I don't answer all of them. Sometimes I'm on another line. Sometimes I'm on, he may have been on with the internet, people asking them why the internet wasn't working. You don't know why he didn't answer, but he did phone you back. I mean, if he never phones you back, that would be a problem.
Hello?
So can you ask yourself a question when you become suspicious? Like, why are you becoming suspicious? Is it your script?
Yeah, it is my script.
Did you have a life script by Dr. Allen or by anybody?
No, not yet.
That might be something to look into, having your life script to find out why this is happening all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. I've done my life script with Dr. Allen. I've done it 6 times because as you grow and you do your life script with her, you do what I call and what we call in Hollywood a rewrite. And so... it's really great to get to rewrite your script. Everybody in your life prior to you coming to that realization are the ones that wrote your script, some people get Spielberg and some people get, Sam Nobody. And their script just, isn't doing what they want. So if you find out who wrote your script and how you can alter your script, redraft your script, and the best way to do that is a script reading with Dr. Allen. It's something. It really is.
I'd like to offer a couple
things, okay,
too.
Thank you so much.
Can you hear me?
Is that Andy?
Yeah.
Oh, what did you say?
Oh, we have another coach on, Andy Shaw. He's a gem. I mean, and yeah, he'll. Oh, I think she hung up.
Well, maybe she's listening. We can say it anyway.
Okay. What's your what, Andy?
Well, there's a book called Outwitting the Devil, which Pat Allen talks about.
Uh-huh.
Written in 1937. It was not published for many years. But anyways, it's an interview with the devil. It talks about how active participation, how you think, will lead to negative thoughts if you don't control the way you think. But more importantly is that life script, that can lead you to awareness, which is what you're doing, right? And then awareness leads you to assimilation, where you feel like an ass because you're changing the way you speak, changing the way you think. But that leads you to actualization, where you act out who you were always meant to be.
That's a good interpretation, Andy. I've heard it like that before, but I could never remember it like that. I just started, listened to Outwitting the Devil before on one of my audios, and I just pulled it out again to listen to. I love that.
I have it on my phone. I listen to it probably once a month.
Yeah.
Just to relearn what I forgot.
Yeah, that's a great one. I have it on my audio and I listen to it in my car while I'm driving. That's a great, great book.
I love that.
What other questions do you have, Sue?
Outwitting the Devil. You said Outwitting the Devil, right?
Yes, Outwitting the Devil. Isn't that by Napoleon Hill?
Hill, yep.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, Napoleon. He's the guy that does Think and Grow Rich, too, isn't he?
Yes.
Yes, he
is. It was written in 1937, released to the Napoleon Hill Foundation in 2008, and then published in 2011.
Mm-hmm. Because they were fearful of what people would have thought about the book.
Yeah, his wife didn't want to publish in her lifetime. Neither did his niece.
Okay. Yeah, it is an interesting book, and it kind of makes you think about a lot of stuff. That's all I know. Okay.
It really is a difference, like controlling your mind, controlling the way you think, controlling the way you talk, which is on Boardwork on that wantinstitute.net website. If you click on Boardwork, there's a table of emotional words versus rational words.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to change your words, listen to other people 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week, and listen for their emotional words. And in your mind, replace it with the rational words. And do that for 30 days. And over time, you'll hear yourself speak, and you'll hear yourself change those words. And you can see the energy change between you and another person when you change your language.
That's a very good way to say it, Andy. And you said that's on our website, wantinstitute.net. There's the Boardwork.
Right.
And there is ma'am. Do we have the list of emotional words on there?
Yep. It's in one table. You scroll down.
Okay.
It's everything that Pat would write on her whiteboard in Orange County.
I think I have the chart here with a bunch of the emotional words just offhand. If I have it right.
I have a bookmark on my phone.
Okay. Okay. Emotional words would be, these are the words that you want. Do not use the following: I, you should, ought, or must, have, or I have to. And don't say I can't. Don't say I would like, or I would wish, or I wish. I will try. May I, or can I? Would it be all right? Would you mind? Could we? I need. Why? It's defending thoughts or feelings. Or I am sorry, or I apologize. I feel that. All of those are emotional words. What you'd want to use instead are the rational. I want, I do not want, or I want you to. I want, or I do not want. I will, or will not. I want, or do not want. I will do it unless. I want to, blank, may I? I want, blank, or can I? I want, blank, do you want? Then you can say, I want. What are your or my reasons? I made a mistake and I do not want to do it again. That's your excuse me or pardon me for what I said. I feel sad, mad, jealous, happy, etc. They kind of have, they're matched to the emotional, what to say instead of emotional to rational. So you almost have to look at the chart to see the difference rather than just me scrolling down. But a lot of people say you should, and that's a big one. Or I feel that, or I feel like, that's not a feeling. If you're going to say I feel, follow it with a feeling, sad, mad, jealous, happy, instead of I feel that. That you're a jerk. That's not a feeling statement.
Exactly. There are no feelings called that.
I know.
There are no feelings called like.
I hear that all the time. I feel like, nope, that's not a feeling. And the strange thing is a lot of people have a hard time getting in touch with a feeling. They're a feeling statement, like feel sad, mad, glad. That's because there are a lot of ladies are in their head. They're not into their feelings.
Well, yeah, so we can go.
I'm sorry?
It goes back to scripting. Here's an example. In my family, it was okay to be mad. It was okay to be angry. And it wasn't okay to be a crybaby. So in my family, if you had the emotion or the feeling that you wanted to cry or you felt sad, you pushed that down and you just became angry. It was okay to be angry. It wasn't okay to be sad.
That's
you know,
true.
My mom was the kind of mom that was like this. What are you crying about? Would you like me to give you something to cry about? My dad, on the other hand, was like, you know, he wanted to know why and what could he do to help. And, you know, totally different dynamic between the two of them. But that's, you know, the script.
That is. I have another question here. I'll read it and I'll take my interpretation and then I'll take yours. Okay. She says, I'm trying to clarify my language and communication with regards to a guy that I have gone out on 5 or 6 dates. He is very touchy-feely and likes to be physical with me. I want to express my boundaries. What do you think about me expressing the following at the point when he asks for more physical intimacy from me or comes on to me beyond kissing and hugging? This is what I am planning to say. I would love to hear your thoughts. So here's what she wants to say to him. I am attracted to you and feel chemistry, which is good, and really enjoy your touch, kiss, and hugs. I'm a bit more on the conservative side. I personally would feel more comfortable with more physical touch than kissing and hugging after getting to know each other better and when we are in a committed relationship. What do you think about that? What I read in it is 1 minute she says she enjoys the touching and kissing, and the next minute she wants more touching other than kissing and hugging. But physical touch could be heavy petting, so it's kind of would confuse somebody. I think, what are your thoughts? Andy or Kelly?
Go ahead, Kelly. I'll go after.
I think that maybe she's a little bit confused. I mean, touch is pretty specific, in my opinion. Like, for example, you know, I used to sleep with my head on my partner's chest, and, you know, he loved it, and I loved it. However, you know, he was a Naval Academy grad, so there was no public displays of affection, and that was okay with me because that's how I was raised as well. So, I mean, what does she mean by touching? He's kissing her, he's hugging her. And I think that at a certain point, she's projecting rejection. How do you tell somebody how not, you know, it's okay to kiss me Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, but the rest of the time, no? I guess I'm a little confused about what she really wants.
Yeah, I would say if she wants to be in a long-term committed relationship, building up, you do a little bit of touching and kissing to get to know each other. But if she doesn't want to go to the sexual part, Then she says, I have a great time with, you know, I love being with you. However, I'm not comfortable having sex or intercourse until I'm in a long-term committed relationship and I want to get to know you more. I was kind of confused.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah, so caller out there, if you need more clarification, you can always call me at the office, or you can always email me at the office. Andy, what's your interpretation from a guy's point of view? If you are with a girl dating her and she didn't want touching and kissing because she's conservative until she's in a long-term committed relationship.
to me, it sounds controlling.
Yeah.
And I have an issue with it. There's this projection of when we're good enough, but never an idea of when that might be.
Okay.
I mean, it could be a year from now. It could be 15 years from now. And there's no objective way to figure out when we're there. And you've also got the piece where, hey, you know, where does commitment fall into place? You know, I'm not going to do anything without a promise ring or an engagement ring, but this is just too vague for me.
Okay,
and
yeah.
If it was me, I'd bow out.
Well, when it comes to kissing and hugging, she says one minute she likes it, but then the next minute she's a conservative and she wants to get to know him more. So, but wants more physical touch. So physical touch could be heavy petting too. So I'm not really sure what she wants from this poor man.
Yeah, I'm not either.
Yeah. So
my question for Andy is this: Andy, if you're dating a woman and you're hugging her and kissing her, and then maybe the next time you go to hug her or kiss her, she tenses up and rejects you, how does that make you feel in the relationship? If I was a man, I would think I would be very confused.
Oh, I wouldn't, yeah, 100%.
I wouldn't understand her signals.
100%.
Being conservative in a relationship is fine, but I think you have to lay the ground rules. And here's the other thing, too. I don't know how you can expect anybody to commit to you if you're not willing to engage with them. I'm not saying in intercourse, but I am saying in some level of intimacy before they decide that they're going to get into a long-term relationship with you.
That I believe, yeah, as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is where, like, I would tell people, you know, there's that relationship contract on there. And there's an intimacy piece to that. And you don't have to do it when you're with somebody. You can do it while you're single. You know, if you want to be masculine, write the I want and what I don't want. If you want to be feminine, write what you don't want, because you find out what you want by knowing what you don't want. And then you can write the sexual and non-sexual pieces of what it is that you're after or not after, and maybe that will help clarify both it for you and your partner.
That's a good
almost like writing your own high vibe letter to yourself.
Exactly. Now you've got a clear picture of what you're willing to accept, reject, and not tolerate, because you want to stay healthy.
But you have to say that pretty much towards the beginning. You can't do a bait and switch, like give them hugs and then all of a sudden say, no, you can't have any.
You can do anything you want as long as you're willing to pay the highest possible price if you get caught. So we're trying to avoid the high cost of being
the price and the prize. Yes. Yeah,
exactly.
And there is an audio that we have on the Dr. Pat Allen website. It's Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communication. It's a streaming video. It's about an hour long. It's got all the Dr. Allen's tools and all of the stuff that Dr. Allen specializes in. It's relationship contract. What is that, Andy, you know more because you helped put it up there. What does Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communication cover?
Chemistry is, there's an L for every C. So like, love, lust. Chemistry is lust. Like is love. Or like is communication. Like is compatibility. Chemistry is lust. and communication is love.
Oh, okay. You sound like Dr. Pat to the T. We'll have to have you on again as a guest. I'm kind of like in the side wings. I work with a lot of girls, but I like having the guy's perspective. Kind of. Kelly, do you have anything to say to Andy?
That's one of the other things that I have my ladies do in my groups. I have them build the perfect beast, and I tell them, okay, you're going to build your Prince Charming, and then we're going to look at that Prince Charming, and we're going to see how realistic it is, and then we're going to say, what is my bright line rule I have to have, and what is it I can say, okay, that's not that important. And I make them build the perfect man so that we can look at it and say, how unrealistic is this? How realistic is it? Where are we going with this? And what do you really not want in a partner? So that's one of the tactics I use. It's funny how they will write this perfect man, and then when they come back, they begin to become embarrassed because they're like, well, he can't do this and he can't do that. And I'm like, oh, is he allowed to breathe? I think sometimes we have these unrealistic expectations. I call them Disney expectations. That's why I use Prince Charming as my my model for that. You know, it's okay to want the white picket fence and the house and you know, that dream. However, you have to look at it and go, what am I willing to say? Okay, this isn't 100, you know, like this one lady was like, well, I don't want him to chew loudly. And I'm like, okay, that's a really big thing to me. And I'm like, all right. So you have this perfect man. He's a wonderful man. He's loving. He's caring. He's supporting. He has a wonderful job. He wants a family. He wants to buy you a home and this and that and the other. But because when he's eating corn on the cob, he's loud. This is a no. Those are those unrealistic expectations that I think sometimes we get into when we're actually not in a relationship, but we're looking for one. So I think when they get to the realization that maybe they can lighten up a little bit. And, you know, I also say, oh, you know, they'll tell me something about one of their partners, and I'll say, oh, my goodness gracious, you're perfect, so you better get rid of him because he's super flawed. And they're like, well, no, he's not. And I'm like, then, like, what are you expecting?
Yeah, there are no perfect people. It's who you make it work with.
Yeah, and on that note, can I read an excerpt from the Man's World, Woman's Universe?
Yes.
So there are three ways to relate to another person. You can accept him or her, which means that you may not always like or approve of what they are and do, but you find more assets and liabilities, so you stay and work things out. To accept another person is to love that person, even when you don't approve of his or her behavior. If you like more about them than you don't like, help them and work it through. Mutate, don't eliminate. If you find someone who's at least 51% valuable on the worst day, keep that person. And then there's two more. You can reject anyone for any reason you have. I usually recommend immorality, which is body damage, unethical, property and money damage, and illegal, civil damage of your rights as a citizen. We all have issues we can improve on. Humans grow best in loving, accepting relationships. Use the tools in the book, Man's World and a Woman's Universe, to negotiate change. Lastly, you can tolerate your significant other, which is to half accept love or half reject, hate the other person. It promotes mood swings, which are difficult for you both. The tolerate is the only destructive thing in a romance. When you tolerate lateness, sloppiness, being overweight, burps, expelling of gas, lying, selflessness, cheating, cheapness, or insensitivity, you hurt yourself by failing your own sense of virtue and integrity.
Perfect. That was a good closing for us. Our time is running out now. Andy, would you be willing to come join us again?
Anytime you want.
Oh, you're a good candidate to explain Dr. Allen's work with me and Kelly. So with that, does anybody have any closing words?
I just want to thank Annie for being here. Annie, that was beautifully read. Thank you so much for sharing that with everybody. And it's great talking to you. Long time no talk.
Okay, everybody. Please stay tuned. Patricia Eltage will be on at 5 to do dream interpretation. And please tune in next week. And we'll have another guest on, and Dr. Pat Allen. And we'll take, you can always email the office with questions, and I'll read them on the air. info@drpatallen.com. Thank you for joining us tonight. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Sue Wagner again from the WAN Institute. Thanks for staying with us for the second part of the Dr. Pat Allen call-in show on LA Talk Radio, Air Empowered Communication. In this part of the show, Patricia Eltinge, author, dream analysis, and transactional analysis, will be taking your calls about nighttime dreams. Patricia will be explaining how to capture your dreams, what dream symbols represent, and how through understanding the messages that our dreams give us, we can improve our relationships and our lives. You can purchase Patricia's groundbreaking book, The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself, by Patricia Eltage on Amazon or through her website, thedreamclass.com. You can also reach Patricia directly through her website. Please grab your pen and paper so you can write down our call-in number, 323-203-0815. Before we get started, please make note of the call. Our call-in number is 323-203-0815. If you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back. Please make sure you pick up the callback as well as enter the number in your contact list to eliminate the call going to spam. So with this, please let me introduce you to Patricia Eltinge.
Hello, Sue. I'm here for you and all of you dreamers out there. And I'm here to talk about dreams and hear what you dream about so that I can help you understand what your dreams mean and the messages that are coming through from your subconscious mind to bring you to higher consciousness.
Thank you. Yeah. With that, we have our call-in number, 323-203-0815. Please feel free to give us a call and have Patricia do your dream interpretation. Last week, we had a few dreams that were very interesting. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about yourself or your book?
Yes, thank you so much. Yes, my book is, it is very groundbreaking. And Dr. Allen really helped mentor me through that process for many years working on the book. So I have a lot to thank her for to really get it off the ground. Oh, I see there's a caller, Sue.
Oh, yes. You're on the air with Patricia Eltinge. Do you have a dream you want interpreted?
Yes. Hello, Patricia. Okay. My dream.
Hi.
I'm a little nervous.
It's okay. We don't know. Nobody knows who anybody is. So, and anything goes on LA Talk Radio.
Right. Okay. So the dream was I was walking into my parents' bedroom, and then I was walking, and they have double doors for their master, and it was cracked open, and I was looking for my dad, and there was my dad in the bathroom, and I used to talk to him about something, and my dad was using an electric shaver to shave his pubic hair. Mm-hmm. And I want to know what in the world was that about?
Okay. When we're dreaming of our parents, when our parents show up in our dream world, it's not them. We are, let me preface this, by all things and people, everyone and everything in your dreams is represents an aspect of yourself. So could you, first of all, describe his character type in a nutshell? Then I'll get to that.
He was the stay-at-home dad. He was very involved in my life. He was the parent that...
He was the caregiver, and he wasn't the primary breadwinner.
Yes.
Okay, so now that we know that. So when our parents show up in our dreams, a parent figure... We are dreaming of our script, that scripted side of you. Now, typically, the male figure in the dream is representing our feelings. And you're saying he was represented the more feeling-centered side of your parental upbringing. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So... When you're dreaming of our parents, we're dreaming of our script, which is the way our script represents programs that have been downloaded to us from the time we were born, even 6 months in utero, from our parents, our schools, our churches, the media, our friends, teachers. Now, this is a direct script from a parental image. And that means somewhere in your waking life prior to this dream, you were having some behavior, reaction, attitude, or the way of acting in the world that was like that. You were acting. So was this a recent dream?
Yes.
Okay. So it's a recent dream. And then I say to you, in order to connect the dots to your waking life, where in your life have you been caretaking other people and removing the symbol of your sexuality? The outer hair is also represents the feminine, even though it's on a male figure in this dream. So you are removing, and the male figure in this dream represents your feminine side, your feeling centeredness. So here you are in the dream, and try to correlate this to your waking life, where you are denuding yourself, your femininity.
Hmm.
Are you stripping your femininity in lieu of masculine behavior? Let me go further. So just to help you along, help you drag it out. I'm helping you dig. This kind of stuff is like an archaeological dig. And I also do script work. So this is what I do. I help people dig until they can pull out the rootlets of things that hold us back. So somewhere in your life, what's going on in your life where you're, you're not being proud of, you're taking away your feminine pubic area is representing part of your feminine. Where are you holding back on your femininity?
I would say these past 3 weeks I have been overeating.
Okay.
Which is something I've struggled with.
Mm-hmm.
I also have been thinking about the shame that I carry surrounding my lack of dating.
Okay, you're shameful. You're taking away your feminine, your pubic hair is a very strong representation of your femininity, even though it's on a male figure. In our dreams, the male figure represents our feminine, and the female figure would represent your masculine. So that's the Jungian paradox. And we want to acknowledge in our dreams how we are. Our subconscious mind is trying to give us a message so that we can counterbalance things that are going to sabotage us. So let's get into the self-sabotage area, because this dream represents your self-sabotage.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yes.
And we can get these messages. When we start understanding our dreams, we can get to our core issues very quickly so that we can try to remedy them and cut them off at the pass, our behaviors that are sabotage, self-sabotaging. So by understanding this message, then you have a choice. How do I want to handle this self-sabotage that I'm doing? It becomes, you become aware. This is our dream life helps us become aware so that then we can move forward and not keep doing it. So let me ask you now, what do you want to do about your self-sabotaging behavior?
I want to stop it, but I know that throughout my history, when it comes to losing weight, and I can exercise regularly by myself, but when it comes to eating, I need a nutritionist. So,
well, let me
that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to add something here, because you can always contact Sue at info@drpatallen.com. They have some group. You want to tell them about the weight loss group, Sue?
Yeah, Dr. Jeffrey White, he's a old colleague of Dr. Pat Allen. He's the EMDR specialist, psychologist. He's offering, it's called the Beck Diet Solution. It's a weight loss group. There's 7 ladies in it right now, and we meet once a week for 8 weeks. And it's a cognitive behavioral approach to weight loss. We pick our own diet, but he gives us tools to work to change the way we think, the brain to eliminate cravings on a cognitive behavioral.
Right. So yeah. this work that they do in this group, caller, is to help you get to the emotional causes and give you some alternative ways of thinking and behavior. So you might consider that. And in the meantime, keep in touch with me on Call the Radio Show and log your dreams. I want to encourage you to keep a dream log next to your bed. And I appreciate that you remembered this dream so well, because that's a very important dream for you to be able to move forward and understand yourself and one step further. And your dream life will keep bringing you messages, because our subconscious mind really wants us to be well. We just need to be open to receiving the messages.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. I will contact Sue about...
There's a waiting list. I don't know when he's going to offer the next group, but it should be fairly soon. Just contact me and I'll give you more information. I'll send you an email that has all the description on it with the little video. And then I could put you on the wait list for the next one. There's a few ladies on the next group's wait list.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling in.
It's reasonably priced too. It's not really expensive either.
Okay. That's even better.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you again. And I encourage you to keep a dream journal next to your bed and keep your eyes closed upon waking. So you can, but you did a very good recall with that dream. That was very good for you.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Call us back next week as well. I think Patricia, you're going to be gone next week. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
But let's let everybody know. Patricia will be gone next week.
I might be on, but it will be.
Okay.
I might be there. So what I might interject here is how to keep a dream journal. And I just did a talk last night here in Florida where I live, and we had almost 30 people show up, and everybody got a little dream journal as a gift to, who signed up for it. And what I do is in my book, I explain it very detailed on chapter 7, by the way, in The Dream Class, my book. And you can plant a seed by writing something in your spiral notebook next to you. Oh, here's somebody.
Oh, okay. You're on the air with
I'll
Patricia.
Resume. Go
Eltage.
Ahead.
Do you have a dream you want to share with us?
Yes, thank you. Hi, Patricia. My name is Vicki.
Hi.
And hi. I wondered if you had some time to give me some insight into a couple of recurring dreams I had in childhood.
Oh, recurring dreams are very important, as I had them as a child when I had nightmares as a child, what I called then nightmares, what we now refer to as dreams with scary images bringing us positive messages. So anyway, were your dreams nightmarish or scary to you, those recurring dreams?
No, they were not. But there was a continuing theme. In the one dream, I was flying. And I was flying around my neighborhood, but kind of about 4 feet off the ground and like a back float. And so I just cruised around my neighborhood on my back floating.
You were floating in, but it was in the air?
Yeah, I was about like 4 or 5 feet off the ground, just going through the streets in the neighborhood. But I would have this dream very often, and it would be like I was laying in bed and just floating, sort of treading water.
What was your age rate? But it was like, I did that too. I used to do swim. I called it swim flying as a kid. What was your age range when you were having this recurring?
I would say elementary school age.
Yes, mine was too. So I would say whatever was going on in those formative years was driving you to go into your head. When we go up in a dream, we are going up into our head, and we are learning to rely on our masculine capabilities, which is the masculine energies in our life, is thinking, producing, productivity, work, money. Those are the masculine areas of life, being successful. Okay, when we're talking about feeling-centered energies, it's down, it's low, it's in the valley, let's say, and that represents feeling-centeredness and our emotions and our feelings. So in these dreams, this theme, you whatever was going on in your waking life at the time was encouraging you to operate out of your masculine. So what may I ask was going on when you were at the elementary school age? Was it productivity and be good in school and get good grades? It could have been. I'm just throwing out possibilities that was keeping you in your head.
I think probably that's it. I mean, there was, I had a very good childhood, but I definitely at that age, particularly in elementary school, was a good student. And it sort of came naturally to me. I didn't have to work hard at it, or I wasn't driven by my parents or me to be it. It was just something I was.
Yeah, because I see that by being on you weren't even on your front stroke doing a forward stroke. You were on your back, easy peasy. You understand? You're on your back, yeah, just like lollygagging, like, whoa, this is easy. So it came natural for you from a young age to operate out of your masculine side, which is productivity, becoming successful. And did you ultimately as an adult become successful and productive?
Yes, I did in many ways. Okay. Some ways in relationships, not so much.
No, I'm talking about in the productive, side of life, masculine side
of
life.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that came easy for you. So now, in this juncture of your life, I hear that you're obviously an adult. So at this juncture, are you looking for more balance then?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
Okay. So you can plant seeds in your dream journal where you can say, how can I find balance in my life? And your dreams will bring you answers in the form of symbols, by the way. Mm-hmm. And then we can see, you can plant the seeds that you want to have some feminine, more feminine energy balance in your life so that you can operate equally well from your masculine and your feminine. Maybe you can be doing the backstroke in a pool or a lagoon rather than the air.
Wow, great. Do you have time for another one that
yes.
I had in childhood?
Yes.
Okay. So
I wanted to add one more thing. When we have repetitive dreams are trying to get through to us. That's really knocking on the door to bring us bring us to consciousness. And if we don't get the message, it will keep coming at us. So you weren't getting that message because there was in olden times and other cultures too, they had people like me. And in the ancient times, they had a priestess or a priest or a shaman or a soothsayer who could understand these things and help you at that age. But nowadays you have to wait till you're an adult and have some therapy and coaching.
Great.
Let's have the other one.
The other one was unusual in that I would be in a dream and maybe fall off a cliff or fall from somewhere high. And as I was going to hit the ground, I didn't wake up or anything. Mm-hmm. I just knew that I was going to land and I would just land.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd fall off a cliff and then as I'm falling. And then after I had the dream a couple of times, I just knew, okay, you're just going to land, and I
Nadia
land.
Comaneci. Yes, the gymnast. Well, that's an excellent dream. And how old were you when you were having this, would you say?
I would say it's maybe a little bit older, but, you know, similar age.
That is a very balanced dream because you're going down. So you had the up dream where you're in your masculine and it came easy to you. When you're going down, falling off a cliff, and you realize that it's okay to be in your feminine too. So that is a very balanced way of understanding your dream. So you came down into your feminine and landed gracefully, like you hit a 10. And I think that's an excellent healthy androgynous dream, meaning we use the word androgynous as in being balanced in both our masculine and our feminine in our brains.
Okay, because I've heard, you hear at times like, oh, if you're falling in a dream, you know, it'll wake yourself up or
no,
have
not
a heart
if you,
attack or something.
You were onto it early on. It has nothing to do with that. It has to be okay with going down in your feeling centeredness. And a lot of times people are afraid to go down into their feelings. Going down in our dreams is our true feelings. And a lot of times people are afraid of their feelings.
Okay. Well, thank you. I really appreciate it because I said, as I said, these were dreams I had in my youth and they were reoccurring, and I appreciate your interpretation.
Well, thank you again and always call.
All right. Terrific. Bye-bye.
Thank you, caller.
See how we go, we're up, and we, that's a way we look at the masculine and the feminine. And when we're in our feminine, a lot of people, I get this a lot, I'm afraid. One of the questions I get, one of the people who was in my seminar last night, I'm afraid of my dreams. I don't want to know about them.
Yeah. Well, and some people don't, is it kind of like scary, like fortune tellers, that dreams are going to scare them if it's something that they're might have bad?
They're afraid of what they might, they don't want to discover themselves. They're not ready for introspection.
Okay. Yeah.
Not everybody really wants introspection. They just want to get through the day and nothing more.
That's true. Yeah. And then you want to put a word out about your book and where they can reach you for price readings.
Thank you. Yes. My website is thedreamclass.com. And my office number is 310-528-0515.
Oh, and we have a caller.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, caller, you're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a dream you would like her to interpret?
Hi, yes, I have a dream during my nap. And is there a difference between having a dream during a nap or regular sleep?
No difference at all. If you reach the dream state while napping, hallelujah. That's wonderful.
Okay, well, my dream was that I dreamt that my kitty cat was walking on the outside of the fence on my balcony, and it really scared me, and I thought she was going to fall, and so it actually woke me up from my nap, and that's my dream.
Well, this is what I teach too, is that everything in our dreams has a masculine or feminine quality to it. Now, cats in our dreams represent the feminine, whereas dogs are representing the masculine side of us. So this is about your feelings and your feeling centeredness. You're afraid to fully feel your femininity. And you're afraid of going down. I don't know if you heard the last caller, but she had dreams where they're going down. So if you have fear of going down into your feelings, it was funny, I was just talking about it based on my class last night, to allow yourself, allow the kitty cat to go over the balcony. Well, what this dream did was it showed us, it showed me so that I can reflect back to you, that you have a fear of being in your feeling, feminine feeling centeredness. So let's dig into that a little deeper. What are you afraid of in your femininity at this juncture in your waking life?
I'm not sure. I'm not dating and I would like to be. I tend to self-isolate.
Self-isolation is not allowing you to blossom into your fully actualized feminine self. So let's work on getting yourself out there and be, and even though sometimes people can feel the fear, but do it anyway. So it takes courage to grow up and turn out to be who you really are. So sometimes we take a courageous step off the balcony, so to speak.
Oh, I see. Wow.
So what can I ask you? What can we be doing? What can you, because I feel like I'm doing this with you. What can we be doing to help you allow yourself to fall into your feelings and experience your real feelings?
You're going to have to reflect on that.
Well, this is what I encourage too. I promote in my workshops and what I do in my private practice. I encourage people to meditate and take this information from the dream world. Now take this information and sit quietly with that knowledge that you just gained on this, and ask yourself the question, what can I be doing to allow myself to experience my full feminine potential?
Mm-hmm. Yes. There is a recurring dream from childhood. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it relates. Could I mention it right now?
Yes, of course.
It is that I'm going up this, it's like a spiral staircase, and mm-hmm. I'm going up and up, and as I'm going up, the stairs beneath me are vanishing, and I don't mm-hmm. see the stairs going above me until I reach them.
Mm-hmm. Well, how old were you when you had this?
I would say like throughout teens and 20s. Mm-hmm. I'm in my
30s. You're in your 30s now. You were escaping again your feminine feelings, your feeling centeredness at that time. See how you were leaving the low part and going up to the high part? That's you trying to escape into your head and outthinking your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to escape into your masculine side, which is how I've explained to one of the callers before, is going up into your head is also represents the doing, the productivity, thinking, ideas, being successful, all that side of life is the masculine. And you were using that staircase to get away from your feeling centeredness. So at that age, that is a scary age, the teens, we're experiencing a shift in hormones, and I don't know what else was going on in your life at the time, but you were afraid of your feelings at that time and you wanted to get away from them. Do you remember?
Yes, that relates a lot. Yes, makes sense.
What was that you were running away from?
Just like an emotional household, and I was just so ready to grow up and start my career and just
career.
Be independent.
Uh-huh. Career is masculine. That's going up into your head, up the staircase, and getting away mm-hmm. from the bad feelings that were not helpful to you. So that was an excellent dream, and now you understand it. And now we want, what the goal is, hopefully, is to bring you to homeostasis, which is a balanced way of living between our masculine and our feminine.
Mm-hmm.
So be able to be in our feeling centeredness and work and be productive when we need to, but be rooted in our feminine.
Yes. Thank you so much. I'm going to think about that.
Please do.
Thanks and feel again. It.
Okay.
Thank you, Patricia, so much.
Sure.
Thank you, caller. That was a good dream.
Very good.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I was just talking about how people can be afraid. And this is why I help people to be courageous, not to not feel their fear. We all have fear, but it's about mustering up some courage. And so I let the callers out there know that they can reach me through my website, thedreamclass.com. And my information is on there. And my office line, 310-528-0515. And I get calls from all over the world.
Yeah, with the Zoom, you do it Zoom, and you could probably use the WhatsApp.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
So
you want to tell us a little bit about I know we talked about Pat doing. We talked a little bit about Life Script on the Dr. Pat Allen Show.
Yes. Yes. Oh, the script work is wonderful. It goes hand in hand with what I do with the dreams too, because we get very deep into our subconscious and how the programs that have been downloaded to us from the time we were born, and mind you, 6 months in utero. babies are getting messages from the outside world. And that's why now they're starting to play music to baby mothers' tummies with the baby. They're even reading to them. And anyway, so these scripts, these programs that have been downloaded, not only from our parents, but from our ancestors, our culture, our schools, our churches, the media, our friends, teachers, etc. So all this input has formulated who we are today. And some of that is fine to get us through life and have us be successful and have relationships. However, some of that scripted material can hold us back and does not allow us to flourish. So we need to dissect it and decide what parts of those scripts we keep and what parts of that scripted stuff we need to eliminate or modify. And that's what we do when I do the script work. And it's a form that I send out, or Sue sends out, and we go through 27 questionnaire, and then I spend at least, I spend about an hour and a half after you've filled it all out. You take your time, and then we go on an archaeological dig, and we come up with some really, really excellent stuff that helps you understand that maybe not everything you were programmed to do is serving you today.
Yeah.
So yeah.
If you want information on that, you can reach out to Patricia through her website, or if you didn't take that down, you can reach me at the Juan Institute and I'll forward you the information to get a service from Patricia.
That's really nice. Yeah. And another question that came in was, let's see. Oh, here's a good one.
What?
They said, what does it mean if I dream I am walking along the beach and a tidal wave comes
It
overwhelms me?
Okay.
Well, I will tell everyone right here that water elements in our dreams represent our sensual, sexual, relationship side of life. So when a person says that, I say, okay, how are you feeling to do with your that side of your life right now? And you're feeling overwhelmed, are you not? And that's indeed the case, because water elements can be anything from a dripping faucet to a puddle to a swimming pool to a tidal wave to Niagara Falls. So in this case, a person is feeling swamped, overwhelmed by something going on in their relationship. Or sometimes people are just afraid when they're getting into a relationship, and they have fears and they're afraid to go forward. So then I can sometimes do some dream work with them, and besides talking with them in our sessions, we say, okay, next time you have that dream, instead of running away, which is what they tend to do in waking life in relationships, a lot of people run away when it starts getting deeper or more intimate and they're afraid. I said, let's try diving into it. And that's another way to overcome your fear, is to experiment with it in your dream life.
Yeah. Great. If anybody's out there and want their dreams interpreted, you can call us at 323-203-0815. With that, do you have anything else you want to share with the audience about dreams that will interest them?
Yes. I love talking about death in dreams, because it typically doesn't mean what it seems. Here's someone who says, I'm worried about my mother dying. I dreamt I was hanging up my black underwear on a clothesline. What does that mean? Well, in waking life, oh, she, I see what it, she says. In waking life, she was worried about her mother dying. But the dream, what, because the mother had been sick. But then when she dreamt she was hanging up her black bra and panties on a clothesline. And what often we do, our subconscious does for us to help us in our waking life to handle imminent demise of a relative. This person knew her mother was not well. And so what her mind did for her, her subconscious mind, dreamt this black, by the way, she said she did not own any black underwear in waking life. So okay. Yeah. This is, the underwear is the closest thing to your body and your heart. So when you're talking about underwear, you're talking about the first layer of the mourning attire. So when someone dies, you wear black for mourning. And it was her dream world trying to help her incrementally desensitize. In other words, get her used to the idea that her mother would be dying soon. Mm-hmm. And that she was preparing for the ultimate wearing of the mourning garments. Hmm. So that's how it comes to us in symbols.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And then you talked about before with the masculine. Is the, what's the masculine? What's the left and right sides of the body? Did you go over that before?
Up and down. Well, when we are in our dreams, too, it pertains to everything. The right side of the body is the masculine side, and that is giving, protecting, and cherishing, productive, success, and thinking ideas. And the left is the receptive, feminine, feeling-centered side. Mm-hmm. So we have the yin-yang symbol representing that, which is the black and white swirls inside the circle.
Uh-huh.
You might recognize as the yin-yang symbol. It's really called the taijutsu. And that is, the black swirl is the feminine. And within that feminine mark there, there's a white dot. And the white dot represents the masculine within the feminine. And in the white swirl is the masculine energy with the black dot in the middle representing the feminine energy. So we all have both energies. We are predominantly one or the other, but we all males have a feminine soul and all females have a masculine soul. Do we have a caller?
Yes, we do. Caller, you're on the air. You're on the air with Patricia.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Patricia. My name is Audrey.
Hi, Audrey.
And I have a dream question for you.
Yes.
Maybe more than one even.
Okay.
What is it called?
Nothing. I was just going to say this is our last caller. We
okay.
have a couple minutes left here.
Okay, here.
Okay, I'll make it snappy.
Yeah.
What does it mean when you know you're in a dream and you're dreaming?
This is called lucid dreaming. You're aware that you're dreaming when you're dreaming. It's like watching a movie. It's wonderful. But I don't encourage people to manipulate it because I want you to just watch the movie and see what the message is that's coming to you. I do
teach.
And
what do you mean by
people.
A manipulate?
Well,
how can you manipulate it?
Some people want to, if you're like falling off the balcony, like one dreamer said, allow things to happen. In other words, you don't try to change it because the message is the message. Although there's a caveat, which is I do help people with PTSD. It's one of my specialties, helping with people with PTSD. And then in that case, especially I've worked with children and helped them change and teach them how they can lucid dream and change the scenario when they've had a trauma. That's a different set of circumstances.
But it's that's very interesting.
When you're aware that you're dreaming, it's called lucid dreaming. And it's wonderful. You are very much in touch with your subconscious mind and you're enjoying you're enjoying the ride. But now I want you to write it down in the pad next to your bed upon waking, without opening your eyes for that 3 to 4 minute period upon waking. Keep your eyes closed while you are in the
light. And sometimes it's dark when I'll wake up.
Mm-hmm. Don't open your eyes.
Give it just right without looking.
Scribble it. No one's going. This is not a test. You don't have to. This is not this is your book. I just want you to scribble a couple of images. What did you see? Just write down the key symbols, mm-hmm. and then you can tie your story together. But the symbols are the most important. So scribble down cat, balcony, whatever. And then when you open your eyes after that 3 to 4 minute period, you can tie your little scenario together.
Oh, I can't wait to do that.
I can't wait to hear back from you. Anything else before we have to go?
No, that's it. That's really exciting.
That's great.
Lucid dreaming.
Yes, and I hope you get my book. It's The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself by Patricia Eltinge, Eltinge. And I'm here.
Is it on Amazon?
It's on Amazon, and I have close to 45 star reviews, and it's a very, very informative book, and people can always get a hold of me through my website and the previous numbers I've given you. So,
love to. Thank you.
Thank you,
Patricia.
Okay.
Thank you, caller. We have just a couple more minutes here. Do you want to round off anything and tell the callers?
Yes, I do. Let's see. I do. I mainly want to tell everybody that all dreams wish us well. Even if they have scary images, the messages coming through are to help us with our personal growth and transformation.
Thank you. Everybody join us next week for Patricia to Interpret Dreams. And then we have the Dr. Pat Allen Show on at 4 Pacific Standard. And Patricia's on at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard.
5 Pacific, right.
Yeah. Yeah. So with that.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week, folks. Thank you.
Thanks, Sue.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.